Hello, everybody. This is Greg Berge here, along with Rick Moore on Unfinished Music, and we are back after our holiday hiatus. And we're sorry we're a little late, little technical difficulties, but it looks like we're back in order now. And joining us today is Sarah Schuyler. Hi, Sarah. How are you today?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Oh, we'd love to have you here. Why don't you start us off with a song?
Okay.
Beautiful song.
Thank you so much.
So what's that? The title of the song and the story behind it?
So the title of this song is called Maps, and it was about somebody that I was in a very long-term relationship in, and it I just kind of thought of the relationship itself as having to do with maps and atlases and just traveling in general. So I was kind of iffy about playing it, but I really like the song and how it sounds and the vibe it has. So, yeah.
Yeah. Did I hear the word constellation in there somewhere?
Yes.
Give me the lyrics to that, because I have a Y chromosome and I don't hear lyrics even with people in studio because I hear the music, and you have a beautiful voice. It was a beautiful song.
Thank
but
you.
give me that line with a constellation in it.
Oh yeah, we saw the constellations shine down on those jagged rocks.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
So that that evoked a memory.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and like the one part about jumping off cliffs and I hit my head, that was in the quarry in Rockport. I was like, one of the memories from the song is we were like jumping in the quarry and I whacked my head. I didn't like considerably like kill my head or anything or get a concussion, yeah. But like That was one of them.
We are all familiar with that here around here, but can you explain that, the quarry, what you're talking about?
In Rockport, and I myself don't know much about it because I only went there once, but there's like the quarry where there's like it's freshwater, and like it's a stone quarry because Rockport itself, I'm pretty sure it was like the granite industry.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right? And so there's a lot of places to kind of jump from. So it's almost like cliff jumping in a way, but not necessarily.
These are gigantic quarry pits that are filled with water.
The pits.
And they're big holes in the ground. It says you're from Pennsylvania originally?
Yes. Yeah. So I'm from Lancaster, Pennsylvania. I was born in Maryland, actually. My parents met at the Naval Academy.
So who? Tell me about that.
My parents.
Yeah, the Naval Academy, and what's the relationship there?
Neither of my parents actually served or anything, but my dad was the assistant wrestling coach, and my mom was a sports information writer, and so my family's very sporty. I'm the only musical one. We like joke about that. So, but my brother does dance, but like a little bit. He's really my younger brother's into breakdancing right now, but I guess that's kind of musical. A little bit, like at least inclined. But my parents met at the Naval Academy, and so I was born in Annapolis. But I grew up in Lancaster, Pennsylvania from the time that I was 4 up until I moved to Beverly, Massachusetts to attend Endicott College in August 2014. So, and that's where I'm currently at.
What are you studying?
So I'm studying English and secondary education with a minor in music. So I just finished, this is my senior year, and I just finished student teaching at Briscoe Middle School in Beverly.
Ooh, very good. Very nice.
In an 8th grade English classroom. So
did you run into a guy named Larry Jacobs?
The physical education teacher? Yeah.
Okay, good friend of mine.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, one of my friends who's a phys ed, wants to be a phys ed teacher as well, was with the other phys ed teacher at Briscoe. So
well, that's good training ground for you. I'm a long-time math teacher, so
that's
good
awesome.
For you. You want to get into public education?
Yes, yeah.
Around here, or you want to go back home?
Well, I don't. Because I also have a 4-year-old son, and I'm going to sing a song about him in a little bit that I wrote for him. But I would prefer not to go back. I love Pennsylvania. I would prefer not to go back, though. I'm actually, like, looking into teaching abroad for a year. I just got my certification to teach English as a foreign language as well. So I would love to go maybe somewhere in Europe or in Central or Central America somewhere and teach English as a foreign language for a year after I graduate. So, like, with my son, we would go. Broad.
Do you see yourself? I'm sorry, Greg, for hogging this thing.
That's okay.
Yeah, I know. It's just your show.
We have an hour to fill, so keep going.
Do you see yourself incorporating music into teaching in some way?
Yes, and I actually kind of did that a little bit with my student teaching. So when we had like writing workshop time, because it's English, ELA, I would play music on a speaker, and I'd use a Spotify playlist to kind of incorporate that. And I also showed my students a video I couldn't show video because my computer's like a dinosaur, but I was able to show them audio of me singing Dream On with this modern band project that I'm involved with at Endicott. So I like sang Aerosmith's Dream On.
Oh, so they're into that.
Well, they a couple of them, I don't even think they knew the
song. Don't tell me that.
I know.
I want to hear it.
I know. A lot. Well, no, a lot of them actually, like the 8th graders, like the, almost all of them, like they were all born after 9/11, which still blows my mind, makes me feel old. But I would use a speaker like during writing workshop time and just play like instrumental guitar music or piano. And I also had them.
See the difference, Greg. you remember Miss Perry at the high school?
Sure.
Well,
yeah.
I had Miss Perry, and what Miss Perry used to do was she would assign us Shakespeare, and then the next day, all the stuff that we had to read, she would read it to us. She would read it to us, even though we'd already read it, in this fake English accent voice for the whole class. That's what we had. And so this is what this is good. This is good.
It's this whole modern thing here.
This is good.
So, let's sort of segue into performing. How did you, I'm sure you were growing up, did you start with piano or?
I actually don't know piano that well. I started playing guitar when I was a sophomore in high school. Mm-hmm. In Pennsylvania, I took a guitar class, and it took me a very long time to get beyond, you know, the very simple just strumming, like just without any chord progressions or anything. But I have been singing my whole life. I've always loved singing. I've loved to, like, perform. I have, like, a picture, of me, like, singing with a family friend's, like, band once, when I was younger. And, I wasn't that good, obviously, when I was little, but I have a picture of me also like doing like a talent show, just singing. But I grew older, like I tried writing music when I was like in middle school and it wasn't that good. But one of the first songs that I wrote, like, in high school was, like, with a friend, and she wrote the piano, and I wrote the music, like, the lyrics, because I love writing, and I love reading as an English major. But I started really incorporating, like, guitar more so towards the end of high school, and especially, like, at the beginning of college, which is when the first song that made me, like, really feel like I actually could write something, like, actually write music, besides one that I co-wrote with a friend, was a song I wrote about my son, called Asher's Song, and I wrote that for him as a Christmas present, my first year at Endicott, which was December 2014, I believe. And that song, people heard it and they liked it, and that was really cool for me to because then I'd gotten, by that point I'd practiced more guitar over time and gotten better at it and just do simple, just knowing chords. So
now, Asher's Song, you played it. Katrina's.
I did.
Yeah. So the world out there knows how we got you on the show.
Mm-hmm.
I was asked to judge one of the nights at Katrina's Singer-Songwriter Challenge, and you were the winner that night, and I do remember you playing Asher's Song. So since we've got everybody wondering what Asher's Song is all about, let's give it a go.
Okay.
October, they said my life was over, but I knew from the start. I said I would do this, my love already here for this new little piece of my heart. Little did I know how much I would grow to love like never before. This beautiful child, every day's a new smile. Why can't you stay little for a while? Every day you grow and I hope you know, no matter what happens, I'll always be here. I hope you climb mountains, I hope you climb trees, hope you don't fall on those cute little knees. I hope you remember summers on the putting on your socks. I hope our future is full of laughs, music and games and arts and crafts. When you're happy, I'm happy. When you're down, I'm down too. But don't you ever forget that nothing could ever stop me from loving you. You look just like me. I'm so proud of how well you're doing in school. I hope you continue to think that it's cool. I can't wait for you to learn all that you can. I can already tell you'll be a great man. I thank God for giving me you every day. You're such a joy in every single way. Fall on those cute little knees. I hope you remember summers on the rocks, Christmas mornings, and putting on your socks. I hope our future is full of laughs, music and games and arts and crafts. When you're happy, I'm happy. When you're down, I'm down too. But don't you ever forget that nothing could ever me from loving you.
I really like that song.
Thank you.
I
do too.
You're not. What are you talking about?
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm turning my head here to turn the reverb off. The So my little boy is 28 now, 29, and but we have a little grandson, and mm-hmm. so we were out yesterday in the snow, which I hate the snow, but just taking him for a sled ride in the back. So just that hearing that is just all that cool stuff you do with a little kid, and yeah. sort of, and then looking forward about what you'd like to see them become. So I love it. So why don't you tell me about, and you can tell Rick too, about the your writing process.
So it's kind of weird because sometimes I go through like long periods of like having a little bit of writer's block too, which thankfully is not as bad right now, which is good because I'm actually doing my senior thesis project. I'm getting to incorporate my music minor because I'm going to be writing and like creating and like recording like mm-hmm. an album, a small one, because Endicott has a recording studio. And so that's my senior thesis project is songwriting. And so I'm going to be like working on that. Up until like I graduate in May, but with my writing process, I like a song that I'll play in a little bit. One, I just start like sometimes I'll find a melody, like I'll just be playing around with my guitar and be like, oh, that sounds cool, and then I'll write the words separately. And sometimes like Asher's song, it kind of just came to me like the chord progression a little bit, and then some of the words, like mostly the chorus, I worked on it a little bit, but like basically like I had the whole idea in my head, and it kind of just came naturally, like the words, because I love writing poetry, like in anyway, and so it's kind of that's how I wrote that. And then, but sometimes I also write music as like with a specific intent in mind. So like that song for my son was a gift for him as well, but I also wrote a song that I'm gonna play that's really simple, and I wasn't sure if I should play it because it's like the guitar part is really simple, but it was a gift for my grandparents. My grandparents, they've been together since they were 16, and I wrote it as a present for my Nana for Mother's Day, but kind of for both of them, and it's from her perspective, like their whole life, like their lives together. So it's a really simple song, but I wrote that like as a gift. So sometimes if I have an intention with like writing a song, like I wrote this that song for Asher, like as it intended as a gift, but also like just for me too.
Molly Pinto, when she was here, is that her last name?
Yeah, Molly Pinto Madigan.
When Molly was here, she has a song that consists of one note, so don't say that it's too simple, because and it's absolutely amazing. Right. Can I ask you, have you ever heard of Nilsson's Cats in the Cradle?
Yes.
Okay, so when you're playing your Asher song, that's the complete antithesis, and I think Nilsson has this message to parents is, live in the moment, and, mm-hmm. and don't overlook and don't overwork and that kind of thing, and you're looking at it. Your message is the same, but from a different angle, and it's stunning. I love the way you get into it, because I mean you were there when you were playing. Your eyes were closed, and you were there.
Yeah. No, I love that song, and it's nice as he grows too, because I mean my son is 4 right now. Well, as he'll tell you, 4 and a half. If I ever say he's 4, he'll correct me very aggressively. But he and I mean it's funny sometimes, because that song also helps me, reminds me too in the moments when I'm frustrated, him when he won't put his socks on in the morning when I'm trying to get him off to school and I have classes to go to, especially when I was like student teaching, that to really like with the chorus, like the everyday, like you grow, like I always want him to know that like I'll always be there for him no matter like how crazy our lives get and everything. So that's kind of like, it's also like a reminder for me as well as a gift for him. So
I used to have a saying with my older daughter and my other two kids as well, but the first time I said it, she had done something and she thought I was really disappointed, and she had done something, I don't know, just innocuous. Mm-hmm. But I remember saying, there's nothing you can do that would make me stop loving you. There's just nothing. And as a parent, I love to hear that in different ways from different people.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. So it's also like, I don't know, just like a way for him to know too. So he also gets mad when if I ever play that. I played it for one of his class, like when he goes to Harborlight Montessori School in Beverly. Mm-hmm. And when he was like in the smaller school, I played that at because one of his teachers knew the song that I wrote, and she really liked it, and he got really defensive that I played it for his friends. So,
because that's his song.
That's his song. That's Asher's song.
Okay. Well, the title says it all, you know.
Yeah.
Well, why don't we? You did a couple of tunes at the studio at Endicott. Mm-hmm. So why don't we play one of those? Give us a little stretch break.
Yeah.
But which one do you want Rick to cue up, and then you can tell us a little bit about it as he's getting ready.
Maybe since we're talking about Asher right now, the one that's called Found, mm-hmm. We can play it. We can have that one. And do you want me to talk a little bit about
it? Talk on the back end? So,
yeah.
Okay.
So
I saw a ghost walk along today. You didn't notice, but that's okay, because you're beautiful little mind. So figure
back, and that was Found by Sarah Schuyler. So Sarah, tell us the story behind the song.
So this is also about my son Asher. It was one of the first songs I ever wrote on piano, because I'm very new at piano, so I learned it a little bit kind of like last year, but like barely, just like some basic chords. But I love the way it sounds, and I love the difference between writing songs with piano and guitar, because I feel like it's so, not like cliche, but like with like, I don't know, being like playing like an acoustic guitar, like singer-songwriter, like give some Taylor Swift vibes a little bit. I don't know. So I really wanted to do more with I really wanted to learn piano. And so this song, I felt like the lyrics fit it better. But this song is about Asher, but it's more about how I talked in Asher's song about how that's like just like being a parent, like the really like just the joy that comes from everything that like we do, like my little family, like me and my son. But this one is more about because I'm a single parent, and how like also my love for my son, but also how it's going to be hard, and it's almost like an ode to him in a way. And this is a song I haven't really played for him because it's a conversation I haven't really had with my son yet. But his dad is not in his life, and I am like a single parent, and which is why I go to like Endicott has a program for single parents. So I live on campus with my son, which is really awesome, and I love it. But it's this song was also a way for me. I feel like even when I write songs for people, it's also for me as well. Like even when I'm writing songs for my son, it's also a way to kind of cope with the fact that sometimes it is really hard. Like, but also like as one of the lyrics is like, but like no matter what beats you down, meaning him, but also me, like our like my love for him will always be there, and my family's love for my son will always be there.
So. Can I ask you about the program at Endicott, because that sounds so supportive and so fantastic, and I'm sure you've met moms, other moms who are students.
Yeah.
And you've got some unique experiences you can probably share with them.
Yeah. So basically, Asher's had like he has made so many friends. Basically, right now there's seven of us, but there's a maximum of 10 people in the program. So there has been a guy before, like a dad in the program before, but it's predominantly, at least for the past couple of years, it's been all mothers. And Dr. Wiley, who's the president of Endicott, started the program. He always tells the story, and I'll like do a very, very concise version. So basically he like met this student who was visiting, and she was pregnant, and her dad, I guess, basically said to him like, oh, she can't go to college because she's having a baby or something. And he, like, I guess went home and thought about it and was like, why don't we support this this specific group, like young people who become parents before they're necessarily, like, ready to. And so it's actually been a really amazing experience. I've made so many lifelong friends that, like, I've made many, many friends through Endicott, too, that I will always, like, keep in touch with and want to, like, spend time with, like, even after we graduate, that I'm really going to miss. But specifically the moms, that's what I...
You're doing a commercial for Endicott. We have
sorry.
No, that's great. We have a great relationship with Endicott and Dr. Wiley, but I didn't know. He seems to be... Is he visible on campus? Because he seems to be very interested in what you guys are doing.
Yeah. No, he's been always been great. Like, we... he'll have, like, us over at his house for dinner. Like, we usually have, like, a Christmas party. But really, like, the program has been so supportive. And even when I first started writing music, actually, some of my best, like, friends... Like, I've been friends with... all of the moms. I mean, we all have our moments because I live in an apartment basically. Like, and I have a roommate who also has a child. And so they each have like their own room and stuff. Like, everybody has like their own room and it's basically like an apartment, but, that we share. But almost all the moms, all of my friends have been so supportive, especially my first year when I was writing this music, I would play it for the other moms and they'd be like, oh my gosh, I love this. Especially Asher's song. Like I had one of the moms, Carissa, one of my friends, she was like, come play Asher's song. I want to cry right now. Like, so, but everyone's been so supportive, and it's a supportive program to be a part of.
Fantastic.
And,
I think that's great. I mean, I was lucky, full disclosure, when I was graduating from high school, my now wife was pregnant. Okay. And we were lucky because we both had supportive families, and we were both able to go to college and get degrees.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of other people who, that's it, you're done.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that Endicott has a program like that.
Let me interject. I'm in my second marriage, 22 years this time. I was married 25 years the first time. And my wife now was a single mom for 17 years, and it took her 12 years to get her degree back in the day because she had to go at night, and you know, you're taking a specific major and they don't have that course next semester, so you got to take another course and so on. So congratulations.
Thank you.
And you're off to a fantastic start.
Thank you. Yeah, and it's also great because I get to do, like, the other great thing about Endicott and being a part of the program was that I really took advantage of in a very wonderful way getting to do extracurricular stuff. So I'm like, I'm the editor of the Endicott Review, which is like our literary and poetry and like photography art magazine. And I like do like I was student teaching, and I am a part of Modern Band, our Echo, which is our a cappella group at Endicott, the Endicott Singers. And I've done theater different theater productions with Endicott, like with Drama Club, and we did like a Midsummer Night's Dream, and I got to do that. And just all these different extracurricular things that really made me be able to do that. And it's also cool because I was very lucky in a sense. My parents, my entire family was so supportive of me and my son. I got pregnant with him. I took a gap year after I graduated high school. And during that gap year is when I got pregnant with my son. So I sometimes have to remind myself too, like I was very lucky in some ways that like I wasn't in high school, like when I got pregnant with my son. But I mean, I am really lucky to get to do what I get to do, and from like where I've come from, I don't know. So, but yeah.
Well, that's an inspiration. I think it's great to get that story out there because I didn't know that about Endicott. And given the way things are going in this country right now, and the Golden Globes the other night, this is good. This is all good.
Yeah, thank you.
So, speaking of doing things, you've moved from the guitar stand seat over to the piano.
Yes.
So, what are you going to play for us over there?
So, I'm just going to say something really briefly. I feel like I say something, I'm going to say something briefly, and I talk a little bit too much. But this is another piano song, so bear with me because, like I said, I'm very new at piano. But I wrote this, like I said, as Found was about kind of like more of a how even though we struggle, like I struggle as like a single parent, that it's going to be okay and my son's going to be okay. This song is also kind of about a struggle. So my uncle committed suicide in at the very end of July. And I also, I myself was really, like, shook up by our entire family was, because my entire family is very, very close. And it was very sad and unfortunate for everyone that knew him, because he was a very wonderful person who did so many amazing things and made so many people's lives, like, so much brighter and happier. But he really struggled with depression. And so this song, it's very simple, but it's called Rise. And it's about how, even though, and it's also, like, a reminder for me and others, after, especially like after that, how even though sometimes we feel like so down and so low, that there really is so much to live for. And this is kind of a way for me to process that, as well as I also had a really rough start to my semester at the beginning, just after like the summer and everything. So it was kind of like my way of coping with feeling very down before my last semester, first semester of my senior year in college. So it's called Rise, and yeah.
Maybe I have so much to do. Maybe I have so much to see. Don't you fret your sons will see when it starts tonight. It's all alright. But don't you fret, don't you fret. Best is yet to come. Don't you
song.
Thank you.
Do you find, well, first of all, I can't help but make comparisons with music that I've heard. That remind you of anything, Greg?
Maybe.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry. I'll give you time to study next time. It very much reminded me of Simon and Garfunkel's Bridge Over Troubled Water. I don't know about what was the chords, but it was also the emotion and
yeah, I think
the looking to better days, yeah. Better things.
The subtle piano with the emotion of the vocal.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But also, I thought I heard again. I have trouble with lyrics, but the best is yet to come. Did I hear that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good for you.
Thank you. Thank you.
It is. That's good. All right. That's super. And the piano. She did good, right?
Very very good. And it works so much better when I disengage the mute button. So.
Yeah.
If you play back all our shows, you'll hear that on several shows that I've accidentally done that. But anyhow, so that was a wonderful song.
What about promoting?
Do
you do?
Yeah, you mentioned you didn't have any shows coming up, but what are your plans? What would you like to be doing?
I'm kind of like a worship song leader teacher at First Baptist Church in Beverly. And we're actually, they're doing a thing, it's called Shelter Fest. I should be able to say more about it, but it's basically, Evan Goodrow, I hope I'm not saying this wrong, band? It's either Evan Goodrow or Evan Goodridge, and I'm probably saying it wrong. I'm pretty sure it's Evan Goodrow. He's like the headliner of it, but it's basically to support a bunch of different homeless shelters, basically.
Yeah,
and
it's
held at First Baptist Church, so I sing there like... a couple times a month, usually, like as like a worship leader and song teacher. But I'm also opening that Shelter Fest, which is on the 27th of January. I think it's I can't remember if it's the. I'm pretty sure I'm like 99.9% sure it's the 27th. I forget if that's Saturday or Sunday at 12 p.m. at First Baptist Church. And I'm pretty sure that it's like a suggested donation of $10. I think it's $10 to get in, actually, not suggested. It's $10 to get in, but you get to hear it's like music from like 12 noon to 9 o'clock at night.
Wow.
So it's just ongoing music, and it's for a really great cause. So, and I mean, I love that church. I'm going to rep that church because I go there and I'm a part of the worship team there. So,
They probably have a Facebook page, so if people want to confirm
dates
and times.
And especially Shelterfest. I think you just searched.
There's probably a Shelterfest event set up.
Yes, yeah, there is a Shelterfest event.
Okay.
But yeah, so I am going to be singing there. And then with my senior thesis, I'm probably going to be doing something with Endicott, but I'm hoping to get back into some part of the music scene in Gloucester because I started out playing at the Dog Bar, actually. I didn't even mention that. Like, yeah, I went to an open mic night at the Dog Bar, and then that's how I really got into the music scene at in Gloucester. And then from Dog Bar is where I learned about Katrina's, and I met so many great people through the Gloucester music community, which is amazing and awesome. And, yeah, so...
Well, we're down two now. Katrina's is closed, and the Dog Bar is in flood.
When did that close?
I think it was the end of the year. And I think it was just I don't know the details, but it's probably a lot like Giuseppe's, where it's just the life of running a restaurant slash
it's
bar
hard.
Is
well, the competition there too from the hotel and the hotel's sublet there with Tonos and so on.
But it stinks because the Dog Bar, you've probably been reading the paper, was supposed to be going into the old Mitch's, and there was this big brouhaha. But so that's two music venues that are, as of today, gone. So hopefully in the summer, at least one is back online.
Do you, one of the things I I find interesting as an outsider, and they're great unwashed, and I don't know anything about the music, but I find that the bands, the local bands, or any band that I listen to, if they have a really good vocalist, then the band is good.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You can have great instrumentalists, mm-hmm. and it sounds great, but it's so difficult to get. And maybe I shouldn't say that. Maybe I'm over exaggerating. But am I right, Greg? It's tough sometimes to get a vocalist.
It is. But tell me about it. We spent 2 years trying to find one, and we were on our second one now in the last 11 months. But anyway, it is. Especially if you want to do original music, a good vocalist is going to help bring it to life. Because me as someone who writes the music, you depend on the vocalist to help write the lyrics and the
it's the singer, not the song, as who would say. So if a band approaches you in the future to join them, are you interested in that kind of thing? Because you're strictly, you're a singer-songwriter. You've got your own genre, I presume, and your own likes. But I know that I think people would be starving bands to bring someone on board.
If you put an ad out there, I'm looking for a gig to join with a sample of your singing, you'd have 10 offers overnight.
I don't know. I mean, like I said, depending on, because everything's so up in the air a little bit for me right now, just like with graduating, I don't want to, I definitely probably wouldn't say no. I do this thing called Modern Brand Project at Endicott. So we, a bunch of different students, we, kind of come together and we'll sometimes do covers, sometimes we'll do originals. But that's where I did, Dream On, a cover of Dream On was with that. But so, I really like that, too. I like the vibe of not, I really want to, I love guitar and especially love learning more about piano. I also got a ukulele for Christmas that I'm starting to learn a little bit more about. But I also love just getting with singing, because not that I feel restricted by guitar or piano, but when I can sing without having to worry also about the guitar and piano at the same time, I feel like I have a lot more power and a lot more control over my voice, because I usually when I'm playing, it's more so, with the last song I just sang on piano, I that song to me is almost completely focused on the vocals. That's the most important point to me, even though there's very few words. It's just how I just the way that I, when I wrote it, but with the piano as a background, but just because I feel like the music is very fitting. But I wouldn't say no to the prospect.
There you go.
That'd be really cool.
Well, I know.
So if you're out there and you're looking for a good singer.
Yeah. I've sang with a family friend's band before. My dad and I both love Johnny Cash. So the past couple of years when I've gone back, our family friend's band, they're called Flat Cats, in Pennsylvania. And, I've sang with them a couple times, and usually if I'm ever at a place that they're playing at, they'll ask me to come on, on stage, and I'll sing Folsom Prison Blues with them. So
and you mentioned sometimes, lyrics, you said something about not too many lyrics or something like that. And, I think it might've been Molly. I don't remember, but there are a lot of great songs that have just the voice, and sometimes they'll hum or they'll come up with a word I think a lot of Robert Plant, a lot of his stuff is he uses his voice as another instrument rather than singing lyrics, and it's not really a filler, it's a feeling, isn't it, when you hum or you know what I'm trying to say? Sometimes the voice fits in without lyrics. Make sense?
Yeah, and actually, one of the last songs that I'll play, one of the last songs, not the next one I'm gonna play, but probably the one after that, is one that I've actually played as well before. That is one of my favorites. It's like a sea shanty, but the chorus, at least what I consider the chorus, is me I'm singing, but there's no lyrics. So you'll get to hear that. Yeah, but and it's ironic though, because the song that I want to play before then actually has almost an overload of lyrics, which is usually is the trouble that I find is I write too much, because I find such emotion in song, and I love the emotion that's brought up by song, whether that's listening to music or playing music or writing music, and even just with the songs that I write, usually like I said sometimes they're telling a story. Like this one is a gift. I'm gonna play the one that I wrote about my grandparents that I mentioned earlier. And it's kind of long, so it's kind of repetitive, but it's a story. It's a story of how they met in their lives. So, with Asher's song, but this one is specifically more like a story. So, But that one is a lot more lyrics, so it's very wordy. But I feel like with some, it depends on the song. It depends on what my intentions are, and other songwriters too, like what your intentions are with the song. So,
yeah. All right. Well, let's see what your intentions were.
Yeah. So this, I'm going to preface it by saying it's called I Adore You. And the reason I picked that, it's repetitive kind of in the chorus, is that's what my Nana always signs her cards to my grandpa for, like, their birthdays or, like, Valentine's Day or any type of whatever. So.
Together, being with friends and they bring. I used to be nervous that they would be alone, but one by one they married and wanted children of their own. I worked at Wagner for 23 years, then I retired so I could hold my grandchildren dear. We watched them grow and taught them the knowledge we had. For 70-something years of life, what we've done has made me so glad. I've adored you, I've loved you for all of these years. Who knew that I'd get to be with someone who knows all my fears and my joys and what brings my soul delight. No matter the trials or any little fights, you are the best thing that's ever happened to me. Who knew I'd find such happiness at a youth group at 16? I've adored you, I've loved you for all of these years.
Just visualize the story moving right along there, you know. So how long have they been together?
They are both about, they're going to be 86 this year. They're only 3 months apart. So they met when they were 16, so they were both born in 32. My Nana's May 5th, and my grandpa, 1932, my grandpa is August 4th. So they're going to be 86 this year, and they got married June 16th, 1954. So it's going to be 64 years.
Wow,
I think. Is that? I don't know. I don't know if my math's correct.
64 years of marriage, but they were together since 16.
Yeah, since they were 16, basically. Wow. And they waited 6 years to get married. So they got my Nana, my grandpa went to Princeton, and they got married the day after he graduated because they wanted to like wait until they were graduated college. Yeah.
So being a storyteller, too, are you thinking of writing biographies?
Well, it's funny because my Nana actually wrote a book, and it was published in 2004, I think. And it's called Journey to Fulfillment, and I have, like, the book memorized. So I know all the family history because of that book. And so sometimes, like, I'll correct people and stuff. Like, they'll be like, oh, this person said this. And I'm like, no, it was actually this person because I read the book. I wrote it because I don't know. My grandparents are really, really, I'm really, really close to them. They actually have a summer house in Rockport, which is why I grew up going to Rockport. Their house has been our family for over 100 years. And so, like, I have a lot of really cool roots, like, growing up in Rockport. And their life, like, to me, like, in my Nana's book, like, Journey to Fulfillment, I feel like I look at them as very inspirational. Like, my parents as well. I love my parents. But my grandparents, to me, they're, like, I really strive to have a life that if I live to be 86, that I can, like, be as amazing as, like, have lived a life as amazing as they have. They've, like, traveled all over the world. Like, my grandpa, they worked in the Philippines for 2 years. I remember one time they, like, just went bar crawling with their friends in London just because, like, they could. And they raised my dad and his siblings so wonderfully. And they're amazing. And I love them so much.
My great aunt used to tell me when I was younger the stories of her siblings, which would be my my grandparents,
yeah.
and great uncles, and my dad's parents, of days in Ireland. And it would go in, and then when my great aunt passed away, I visited Ireland and I couldn't remember any of it. So you have you not only have a written record, but you also have a musical record. That's awesome. Your kid's gonna love that.
Yeah, and like my son, like he's been like they've just been such a big part of my life, and even just how for what I strive to do. Like my Nana went back after she like raised her kids. Like when I said the Dipnos, they started this book group called the Dipnosophistical Society because she was saying when they had their first three kids, like my dad is Peter. Like when Peter was born, she like was saying to my grandpa, like I don't want to just talk with other moms in the neighborhood about child rearing. So she founded this with some other couples, and they asked a couple at their church and their friends from when my grandpa worked at Union Carbide to each bring a couple with them, and they founded what was called the Dipnosophistical Society. So they read, and as of when I was a sophomore in high school, which was like, I don't know, like I don't even know how many years ago, like I graduated in 2012, so I can't do that math.
Yeah, you're so old. Yeah okay.
I don't know, whatever.
Way back
but
in
they
there.
Read 500 books at that point. So, wow. And they, cool. They read every month, and they went on a hiatus and they went to the Philippines, but they, it's really like about how, I don't know, like they love knowledge as well as like just their lives. Like they really...
They're curious about everything, yeah.
So...
Changing the subject,
sorry.
If I may. No. Just because I wanted to ask, and I keep forgetting. Who are your musical influences?
Well, as much as I feel like it's really cliche to say, but when I was first like getting into singing and playing guitar, I loved Taylor Swift. I like loved her, and so initially, like as a very beginning songwriter, I feel like I have to say her. Because I really liked how she wrote about like love and stuff. I mean, as like a 15-year-old, I was obsessed with her. But I really liked how she was very unapologetic about it too. And so I really liked her. Voice-wise. I mean, I can also think about I wrote my senior thesis literature review. I got to analyze music. I used her because, like I said, I can't like not include her. I also used Johnny Cash because I just from what I grew up like listening to because I kind of separate in my head what. I grew up like listening to what I kind of consider my basis for why I like certain kinds of music. But like singer songwriter wise, I love Ingrid Michaelson. I love the way she writes. I love Ed Sheeran. So kind of like mainstream a little bit, but I love Johnny Cash and I love like the message, like with Johnny Cash, I just love, I don't know, like the raw quality, like of his voice and just the way he wrote songs too, like Folsom Prison. Like he was able to make all of the inmates like really feel like he could understand them. And
did you ever hear a song called The Ballad of Ira Hayes? Johnny Cash, 1959.
It
was a number one, but what you just said about the rawness of it, it's a very folksy song. He doesn't go, you know, and he's got that raw voice. But it was Ira Hayes was one of the flag raisers on Iwo Jima. My dad was on Iwo Jima. And Ira Hayes was a Native American who, when he came back to the States, they pulled him off of Iwo Jima. He went into a downward spiral because he had survivor's guilt.
Yeah.
And he died at age 32, broken, and he died a drunk, and he died in a ditch, and nobody even knew who he was. And it was quite the antithesis of what we now know about what veterans go through. But that Johnny Cash's song, if you get a chance, look it up.
Yeah.
It's called The Ballad of Ira Hayes.
It sounds familiar. I'm trying to like think of it in my head, like how it goes. But no, Johnny Cash is amazing. And I mean, I grew up like listening, like, I don't know, like the Beatles. I always joke that my parents, I always tell them like, you didn't play me enough music. Like, and I learned that they have great musical taste and like, you never played that when I was a kid. But now my dad and I, like, we both like love the Beatles. We love Johnny Cash. I mean, like I said, I love the way Ingrid Michaelson writes. Regina Spektor on piano, I could never be as good of a piano player as she is, but the way she's very avant-garde. I also love Amy Winehouse a lot, and I wrote a little bit about her for my in my senior thesis lit review, because I remember one of the quotes I used for my literature review was an article that I found. Someone was basically saying how her songs had more wisdom than she did, because she the ending of her life was very unfortunate and tragic. Mm-hmm. But she also had this wisdom in her music that I don't know if she really fully understood. And I really love that about her. And I love artists from also different genres. Like I love, sometimes I'll hear music from someone I've never heard before, like on Spotify, like the Discover, like the Spotify app, there's like a Discover like thing where you can just listen to music you've never heard before. And I love that because I learn more about people, and even just like hearing the way other people write music inspires me. So, but I mean, I like I said, I have a lot of different influences, and more because it also inspires like music, whether they're a singer-songwriter or not. Or even if I just hear, which one of the last songs I'm going to play, which is one that, like, I've played at Katrina's and I've played like in the Gloucester scene that a lot of people seem to like, as well as a lot of people seem to like Asher's song. It's called Fairy Tale, and that one is one that like it reminded me a little bit of like a sea shanty, but also of like Pirates of the Caribbean. Mm-hmm. And so like, I don't know, like just random little influences that I'll get. So,
great. Well, let's hear that one. We'll have to wrap up after that. And then we'll go out on Desire.
Desire, yeah.
All right. So let's hear the Pirates of the Caribbean song.
Yeah. Called Fairy Tale. So, here it goes. Your eyes, they do.
was one of disguise. The way you manipulated me was my own regret. The lesson I learned is one I'll never forget.
That one needs drums, though. You gotta have drums. Yeah. You gotta have a whole orchestra behind you.
Had it with I played it once at Dog Bar, and someone played a violin in the back. Oh, it's
oh, you gotta
so
have it.
Cool.
Oh yeah, that's
sweet.
What I'm
very
talking
shanty,
about.
Very sea shanty, very
classic. Yeah, but you gotta have drums too. Drums, violins, everything. Bass.
Yes.
Oh yeah. Oh,
whole
yeah.
Band.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, that was a cool song, and I just want to say thank you for coming down here, and I don't know if Rick noticed your knee was all bandaged up. You had a pretty bad car accident recently, but I'm glad everything's all right and you were able to make it in here.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. This has been awesome and wonderful, and get to like talk about my music more, you know? So it's been amazing.
That's what
you
it's
so
all
much.
About.
We'll get you an MP3. We'll get you the MP3 of it, and then you can take it and add it to your senior thesis.
Oh, okay. So. Awesome. Oh,
right.
That'd actually be great. Yeah.
All right. So I'm just going to do some quick bookkeeping and then housekeeping, and then Rick will take us out on Desire.
Awesome.
So coming up on, first of all, thank you. This is Greg Berger along with Rick Moore on Unfinished Music at msonewsports.com. And our guest today has been Sarah Schuyler. And coming up on the 23rd of February, we have Erica Lee. And I met her at another singer-songwriter challenge. She was the winner in Worcester at a little club. So we'll look forward to seeing her. And then in mid-March, haven't got the date down yet, we'll have Ben Zanfagna from Red Tail Hawk from Newburyport. So check our Facebook page, Unfinished Music, and keep up with the latest. If you know somebody or you would like to be a guest on the show, reach out to me at greg@gregverga.com, and we'd love to have you in. Okay, and so we're going to go out now with Desire.
Spiral staircase, oriental rugs, perfect strings and pretty things. I'll be what you love. I don't love you 'cause I get you locked up in my head. Lust is always better.